This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the One Bulls Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and as always, I am joined by the one and only Danny Baker. We have a couple of special guests coming on in Mark Buswell and Sam McCrory. They'll be coming on to join us later, and we'll be discussing all things AFC Wimbledon. First off, I'd like to say hello to Danny. How are you, Danny? You all right?
Very well, Lee. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Got over me COVID and me cold, and I'm fighting ready to go, mate.
Fighting ready to go in terms of the Robbo debate, yeah? I've got a few non-stats that help you. We normally talk about something random. Paddy's Day was today. Yeah. It's the whole Paddy Saints Day over. That's done now, isn't it? Surely to Christ.
I'm not a fan of it, to be fair.
What about St. George's Day? Do you get like a flag out and stuff?
No one. That's what really annoys me.
Go on.
Everyone supports Paddy's Day, right? It jumps right on the bandwagon, wear stupid hats, drink Guinness that they never drink most of the time. Right, get right involved in Paddy's Day, wear green. And then St. George's Day come along and no one really gives a shit, really.
Exactly. That's what I don't get. I literally was today talking about St. Paddy's Day and a guy came in all his green stuff and I was like, aren't you hilarious? And I was like, what are you doing for St. George's Day? He said, oh, nothing. And I was like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, and a good thing is... A good thing tonight is we're calling on a Rangers one, so that's good.
Oh, did right, they? They
went through, the Rangers. Yeah, they're through to the quarterfinals.
That is marvellous.
Up the Rangers.
I mean, I'll finally sleep tonight, I think, now. That's good.
But yeah, I don't get it all. Like, it was St. David's Day, isn't it? The Welsh one. No one even mentions him.
You've got Andrew, St. David, St. Patrick, St. Lee, and St. Danny, I think. I think they're the main saints, aren't they? St. Buzz, does that work? St. Buzz?
Buzz is never a saint. Well, as you've mentioned them both, there's a... Welcome, our guests, Mark Buswell and Sam. How are we, boys? You all right?
Yeah, good. Yeah, you?
When would St. Buzz Day be, Buzz?
Probably Christmas Day.
Yeah.
That's when I like me best.
Do one.
Yeah. All the booze, all the food.
Sam?
I'll take Halloween then.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Best day of the year is Pancake Day.
No one come out of the original. That's fantastic. We'll keep
Pancake Day is the best day of the year. Already said that.
Do you have pancakes any other day apart from Pancake Day?
Not really.
No, absolutely.
Who does?
No,
who does?
What a plastic pancake fan.
Who has pancakes every other day? When do you ever have pancakes?
Americans have
pancakes. Part-time flipper, are you?
I never have pancakes really ever, do we? Come on. Americans do, but we're not in America, are we, Buzz?
No, but if Pancake Day is your favourite day, that must mean you love pancakes, which would mean you have them more than once a year.
No, I just have them on Pancake Day because that's the whole point of Pancake Day. It's like saying I love Christmas, but you only have it on Christmas Day, don't you?
Yeah, but you have roast dinners all through the year and presents.
Roast dinner is different to a Christmas dinner.
That depends. If you go all out every Sunday, then it's not, is it?
Also,
some explaining, Lee, please.
In my house, we can't really have roast dinners because my missus has got a phobia of peas. So she doesn't.
Hold on. A phobia of peas or just doesn't like peas?
No, she's shit scared of them. So
how
if I wanted,
peas,
if I really wanted to do something to her, I could just throw a pea at her and that's it. She'll go mad.
Seriously, where do you sit with like a green bean? Does she can totally go mental or is that okay?
Beans are fine. It's peas. She's if I wanted to trap her in the house, all I could do is put a load of tins of peas or loads of peas down and she wouldn't be able to move.
How X-rated can we go?
She hates peas. What do you mean, how X-rated? She's got a phobia of peas.
We're rock and rolling.
So you can't pee on her?
She's really scared of peas.
Your bit looks like a pee, though.
It doesn't, mate. But yeah, she's got a phone.
3 minutes, it's descended into chaos already.
Most dinners are not really, we're not really allowed to. And also, she's got this thing where she don't like all her food on one plate, like all mixed up.
Yeah, but
she has to have it all separate.
You can have a roast dinner without peas. I mean, surely.
Yeah, but
you know,
roast dinner is a bit of a mess as well. It's quite a big mess, isn't it, really? You have it all in one plate, which I love.
That's just dinner. You just have dinner on one plate.
No, but she has to have it all kind of separate. They can't be touching. So, like.
So she likes tapas then, and that's it.
She's a big tapas fan. Which are.
The big mix like that, just taking stuff as she goes.
Yeah, but anyway, she a big phobia of peas. So anytime I get in trouble, I just throw a pee at her. But yeah, she literally would dump me or divorce me if I threw a pee at her.
Wait till you're after Vegas, yeah?
Well, yeah, then she has to try and get out first. But anyway, less of the pee stuff. And let's talk about Lincoln. Another good result. What's that, 20 now without a win? 19 without a win?
19. No one's counting, are they? No one's counting.
Well, 18 Robbo, in the league, innit? And 19 in...
The Robbo fans don't seem to be counting.
We weren't too bad against Lincoln, I thought, in periods. I think we were decent. But we've got a complete crisis of confidence. And again, we seem fine everywhere apart from the two boxes. And the moment we get to the two boxes, we seem to have a complete meltdown. And again,
that's the story of the season, isn't it?
100%. And Robinson, obviously, he's played Robinson and he gave the big one about, oh, isn't it great we're playing a 19-year-old, but he wouldn't be playing in any other season, any other time. And it was just a bit of a game where we had two or three really good chances and didn't even look like getting close to the goal to take them. And they had, well, we gifted them one, let's be blunt, and they had one guy who put one in the top bins and that was kind of it, really.
Yeah, but when he just put it in the top bins, Dan, no one got near him. You know what I mean? He had the whole of Plough Lane to blimmin' shoot from, yeah?
Oh, yeah, but he still put it right at the top.
Also, you know, like you said there, about Robinson said about, oh, we gave a 19-year-old a debut. It's like, again, it's just bullshit that we don't really need to be hearing. We just lost 2-0. Really didn't, again, put much pressure on them. And they're right down there. If we had beaten, they would have been pulled right into it. And then it's literally like, look at me. I've got a 19-year-old playing. It's like, yeah, so what? Most
putting
teams
a 19-year-old in the team, that's what the whole ethos is about, isn't it? That shouldn't be a brand new thing. That's something that the whole ethos of him bringing in young players.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're jumping ahead, aren't we? Yeah.
It's just the arrogance of, again, that really annoys me. And I got really annoyed after. I know it's positives, and it is positive that Zach Robinson's come back. He was on loan at Hampton, and I've always said from day one that he will be a good goal scorer for us if we can get him in the team and get him a run of games. Unfortunately, he's suffered with injuries. But coming off a 19-game, I'm like not winning a game, and that's the major thing that we have to mention after. It's just a bit of bullshit for me. Go on, Buzz.
Go on, Buzz.
I've got a couple of things about it. One, he was banging on about the fact that no other club in the country has started a 19-year-old, giving him his debut, which is absolute nonsense because there's teenagers that play all over the country every week. So the fact that he's given a 19-year-old a debut means absolutely nothing. And Zanev, the first goal...
His kicking's got terrible, hasn't it?
Oh, his kicking, but the first goal... I was watching it. So I was watching it on a phone, but Soccer Saturday on in the background. And they went, oh, it was, I think it was Rob McCaffrey. He said he's blasted it into the top corner. Zanev got a hand on it. He should have saved it. It was a weak shot. It weren't in the corner. It wasn't powerful. He just sort of bent it. I thought he should have saved it. And then what he was doing for the second goal, I mean, how many times has that happened now? How many times have we given needless shit goals? Just get rid of the ball. Just get rid of it. We're playing against 10 men. They're shit. They are shit. We beat them away already this season. They got 10 men and, oh my God.
It was just so, the thing as well, Buzz, which was annoying, is that you could, the moment, like the ball went back, he was constantly just booting it and booting it and booting it. And often he just hangs it up, it goes too wide. And the moment the bloke started closing him down, he panicked. And when they scored, the whole ground, the whole life was just sucked right out of everyone.
Of course it was.
Because obviously we had the red card, we had a lot of chances. Robinson, it went over the bar. McCormick went over the bar. We had a chance where we closed down a defender and it was a one-on-one and we missed it. And the momentum was going and Brown was being, you know, doing what he does. And everyone was going and we thought, okay, we're actually going to get something here. And then Wallop, goal scored, everyone flat. Take off a midfielder, put on a left back. And we just kind of lost our shape. Totally.
Which wasn't the way at the start of the season. If you think of those comebacks we put together at the start of the season, that spirit is not quite there at the moment, is it?
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to mention was the George Marsh being not in the squad at all. And there was, again, Robbo come out in the local press saying that he wanted to be a bit more attacking, have that attacking threat if we were winning the game, if we were losing the game, have a little bit more attacking. But people spoke to George Marsh's dad and stuff after the game or during the game, and he said, no, he's fit and ready to go and he wanted to play. And I just thought, George Marsh has been one of our best players. Do you know what I mean? He's had a couple of...
He's man of the match the other day, yeah.
Yeah, and he gets taken straight out of the squad where you've got people like Woodyard who are struggling. Do you know what I mean? Because he's captain, who is possibly one of the worst captains we've ever had. I thought Marsh should have been playing. I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? What's happened in the background?
Was he genuinely fit? I mean, his dad... I mean, I met him at Portsmouth. He seemed like quite a sensible bloke. So I presume you're right. But I just can't imagine him playing as well as he has done, being fully fit. And then going, do you know what? We'll put Nestor on the wing. We'll put Nestor on the bench instead of you. Go on, Buzz.
This is the whole thing for me. If the squad was that tight and that together, then Marsh's dad wouldn't be saying that sort of thing to fans. That shouldn't happen. At a professional club, you shouldn't be able to stand next to someone who's been dropped's dad, and the dad say, "Oh well, yeah, he's fully fit. He's been that shouldn't happen. That's not a thing." Like. If he has been dropped for whatever reason, it should all be behind closed doors, and that's the end of it. All right, obviously he's going to tell his dad, but there should be a fucking, just shouldn't happen. Going back to the game, like the thing that's the most worrying, someone said it the other day to me, was the fact that we didn't play that bad. It was one of the better games we played in the last probably 15, and we were still absolutely nowhere near it.
That's what annoys me. Everyone's like raving. Everyone's going, yeah, we played well. We like Danny even started the show with like, oh yeah, we done all right against Lincoln. We started well in patches.
We were though.
How many saves did their keeper make?
That shows how low the standards are for to be a woman of fan at the moment. We played okay against Lincoln, who are shit and who had 10 men. People are chubbing off the performance. Well, we done all right though. We done all right. We're a young squad with a young manager. We done all right. We didn't do all right. We were crap. We lost 2-0.
Give me one chance. You thought maybe the Zach Robinson one where he cuts in and he should have maybe put it across to Azal. But give me the save the keeper made and you thought, ooh.
Well, we had four clear-cut chances that we didn't take any. Zach Robinson went almost one-on-one with the keeper on the byline.
Yeah.
Zach Robinson went one-on-one with the keeper and missed it. We had...
Went out for a corner that the keeper was the only one I think the keeper had to save, wasn't it?
And McCormick had a shot. McCormick had another shot, a really good chance, and he absolutely mullered it over the bar.
Yeah, but that's not a chance because he missed it by about a country mile.
It is a chance. He just didn't.
It's half a chance, though. It's not clear cut. It's half a chance.
The goal. The chance, you don't dictate the chance of where it finishes. You dictate the chance of where.
Yeah, but if it goes 6 foot over the goal, it's not a close chance.
What I'm saying is, it's not a close to being a goal, but it is a goal scoring chance.
They had two chances to score two goals.
It's a great chance to score, isn't it? So it's not the end product, it's where it is in the position of the game and where the other people are and where the keeper is.
They had two chances to score two goals.
I'm not. That is very, very fair. And again, as Buzz said it, Lincoln were definitely not particularly good. I was worried about Marquis before the game because I know people aren't a big fan of him and the way that he plays, but. We were desperately keen for one of them. And the whole game hinged on the fact we had young Robinson up front. They had Hopper, who ran into little pockets, and Marquis. And again, if you want to stay up in this league, you've got to have someone who's going to score some goals. And we're not overly, I'm not saying we're brilliant at the back, far from it. But I think if we are, we are in the position that we're in because we haven't got a forward, in my opinion.
But Lincoln are staying up now, and they signed Marquis.
Yeah.
We signed Cosgrove.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you swap them around...
Oh, 100%. There's no Marquis, doubt on that at all.
Do you know what I mean? And one of them was worth $2 million at the start of the season, which blows my mind. How can you spend $2 million on a lamppost? Just crazy, really. I don't think we've...
I mean, all right, no one really knows what Cosgrove's strengths are as such, but they must see something in training. And for that, was it Plymouth the other day? We put a couple of balls in the box and he should have scored, but he hit the post. That's what his strengths are. He wants balls in and around the penalty spot in the air so he can head them. But
I've got Cosgrove's stats in front of me here. He's played 177 professional games and scored 50 goals, 47 in the Scottish Prem, which is an equivalent or better league, isn't it? So he's not useless. Well, he hasn't been useless in the past.
If you look at his stats, though, Sam, I would say most of them goals that he scored in the Scottish Prem were penalties.
Yeah.
That's a big call.
I think it's actually true, Dan. I think that's actually a fact.
You may
be
right, yeah.
Because, as I said, I've watched a lot of Scottish football, and as I said to Buzz, when we signed him, he bullied people up there. I've seen him play against Rangers a couple of times, and he absolutely bullied them. But, unfortunately, we're not getting the Aberdeen Cosgrove. We're getting the one that's at Shrewsbury, and they could wait to get rid of him.
Cosgrove. He was injured now, and obviously with Presley not around, I'm not saying Presley makes any difference at all, but the fact that he's not, and Shane aren't around, I'm not saying, again, they're world beaters, but
are we going to mention Presley? Because that I think it's his agent or some company that obviously works for him or his agent, have said that he had a successful loan period with us, which I wouldn't really call it successful. I know we've had it on Buzz on the WhatsApp where Titch was saying that it is successful for a young player to go out on his first men's football, get minutes, gets men's game. And in his own personal point of view, it might be successful. But I think as a club, I think it's been very disappointing. And Danny, next time I go to a game, I'll have a bit of food, mate.
Absolutely. Well, I made a bet, and I thought he would get 10, and I've got absolutely nowhere near it. And
it's 2 and 21 he got.
But he's obviously it depends. When I saw that tweet, and when they've said it's successful, that's obviously from their side, isn't it? It's not from our side. I wouldn't say any of the loans this year have been a success.
I mean, would you have any of them back next year in League Two, say? Would you have Presley back next year, League Two?
No. I mean, obviously there was a reason that we signed him in the first place. I don't know what that reason was, but on this year's performance, no, I wouldn't. But
the only one I'd have back from our loans at the moment, I don't know if you boys agree, would be Henry Lawrence. He still ain't done enough for me. He hasn't played enough games to be everyone raving about him, but he does look like the only one with a bit of ability.
Yeah, but again, he's never fit, is he?
But how crazy is it on Saturday that we found out that Mabudi's an actual striker? Which, again, we've said this on the podcast many occasions. He's never been a winger in a million years.
Did you say last week, Danny, that he should play out front and he absolutely slaughtered you for it?
Yeah. I did. Yeah. I always say Mabudi should play out front, never say he should play on the wing. Always, since day one, I've said he should play up front because that's where he played at Rangers, that's where he played at Queen's Park.
But again, he doesn't look bothered. None of them look fucking bothered. Cosgrove, someone said the other day, Cosgrove's on 30 grand a week from Birmingham. So he doesn't give a shit. If we go down, stay up, score 10 goals, score no goals, he does not care because every Friday or whatever he gets, monthly or whatever it is, he'll get his money, no matter come what may.
But that's loan signings can go back to clubs, can't they? They can wash their hands of it, and it's just an experience for them at 19 years old. It's not the same as the permanent players.
But that's the problem with modern football nowadays, though, is people are getting 2 or 3 year contracts, getting big, big money, like 30 grand a week. Mabudi's probably going to be on about, between 10 and 15 grand a week at Watford, or say 5 grand a week. Still not a bad bit of money. Like, and if he's on a 3 year deal, he don't care. He'll get, look at, who was it? Blackman we had, remember, years ago. Andre Blackman, the left back. He went to Celtic after playing for us. Do you know what I mean? He went and played for some massive clubs. He didn't give a shit, but he kept getting contracts, kept getting good money. And that's the problem with modern football, I think. These players, they get good contracts, they get good money, and they don't care at the end of the day nowadays. And I think that's the only problem we have.
But the thing I would say, and again, we'll talk a little bit about it when we come to the Robbo stuff, but I don't think anyone... I don't think there's many people who didn't think players tried on Saturday. We, with the with the previous managers, you could almost tell that the players are kind of down tools. I don't feel like our players have down tools at all. I just don't feel like we have, but it is a concern. And again, the moment they scored the first, we all were like, well, here we go. And we came back to the South Stand and everyone was going mental, got the red card. And we thought, do you know what? This actually could be it. This could be the real change in it. We had a little bit of a puff and then all of a sudden, 2-0, we were just dead. And it's just a bit, just a little bit deja vu. And we've got to find a way, and I don't know how though, we've got to find a way of trying to get a win somewhere. I don't know where that comes from. I look at the fixtures and you always think, well, Cheltenham away, that's a good opportunity. Cambridge is at home, that's a good opportunity. And Cheltenham at home. And each one that comes past sort of goes. But yet we're still not in the bottom four. Like, what is going on? It is mental, this league.
Yeah, but how many people moaning about our luck, saying we've had no luck, et cetera, et cetera. Saturday, for example, their red card was never a red card.
No, I agree. Never was a red card.
Never. Yeah. So we've got lucky there. Don't take advantage of it. We've been lucky because the last, 7-8 weeks, if one other team had got a point or 3 points, we would be in a relegation zone. Like even this midweek, if Gillingham or Morecambe had got a point, we would have gone in it. And we're still not in it. So that's the luck in itself that we're not in it. And, well, sooner or later, it's going to fucking bite us on the arse.
I've been absolutely muddled for some of this season for saying where are the goals going to come from, right? And we are not scoring goals and we've not been scoring goals for ages. So as well as the endeavour is, Danny, and how hard we work and as much effort we're putting in, you don't score goals, you don't win. Lincoln had 100%. Two shots and scored 2 goals.
Yeah,
we don't look like scoring in games, though. And now we're relying on
the goal scorer thing that, yeah, they have tried to bring in other players, haven't they? None of them have worked, but it's not because they're short of options. It's just none of the options have worked. They've tried Zach Robinson, they've tried Cosgrove, they've got Thomas from Barnsley, hasn't worked out. Terry looks well out of his depth. Presley got injured, you know. It's not like they've persevered with one player who hasn't worked. There's been different options and none of them have worked.
But we're now relying on a 19-year-old striker who's been on loan at Hampton and Richmond. Do you know what I mean? It's not like he's been pulling up.
At least he can move around, though.
Oh, yeah, but he's young. He's quick. He's got that fear.
He looked hungry for it Saturday. He looked like he wanted to make a point. But going back to your point, Lee, about you saying there'd be no goal scorer, even when we were scoring, half the goals are coming from fucking Will Nightingale.
Yeah.
That was never gonna. He was never gonna bag 20 goals this year, was he?
Well, 19 maybe, but not.
You know what? What annoys me though is that Presley was injured, right? Why did we not send him back in January, and then get a new a loan signing in January? Because Presley was injured for a large period. He was back at Brentford, and do you know what I mean? He came back, got injured straight away again. Why not just go, look, he's injured, sort himself out. Thanks very much for everything he's done this season. Do you know what I mean?
I guess they must have thought that he'd be back in February or middle of February, and they thought, you know what, he'll be back and we'll have a striker for the running. And obviously, not the case. The other thing we still don't know about is if we're paying absolutely nothing for him, then it works, isn't it? I suppose I can't imagine us paying a fortune for him at all. Go on, Buzz.
And if he had stayed fit, then he would have been a good like-for-like replacement for Ollie Palmer, wouldn't he? Although of less ability, he's a similar sort of player. So if he had managed to stay fit, that might have worked out better than it has.
But someone's obviously watching them in training. So someone's obviously watching Presley in training or has watched him in training and gone, oh, right, he's injured. He might be out for a month or two, but fuck me, he looks good. We'll have to keep him. Who's fucking watching that? Who's watching that? Is it Robbo? Is it the assistant manager, Turvey, who's got experience of, Sunday League football? Who's watching these players and going, oh, yeah. It's like the videos that come out on Twitter on a Thursday and Friday. Boys, well up for it. Look at this bit of Bezo mayhem or whatever they called it. It's just absolute garbage. Stop. Just stop.
The one where at Carl Shorten, where they're playing with a load of mannequins.
Yeah, that another one, yeah. Or the other week when they put one out and the defending team didn't move.
Yeah, and he's got a goal. Everyone was celebrating, like going mental at his training video. And I was like, but no one even put a challenge in. They just like let him run around him. And it's literally Wimbledon propaganda. It's like, it's watching the news. It's like watching Russian TV sometimes.
Russian news, yeah. It's the fucking commercial or whatever's obviously gone, right, lads. You lot score. You lot celebrate. You lot don't move. Because we've got to justify your fucking £1,500 a week because you can't win a game of fucking football on a Saturday.
Right, anyway, boys, I think we move on. When we come back, we'll have the discussion of the in-out, shake it all about.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Welcome back to the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. And now we're going to be discussing the management team. So we're going to be discussing Robbo. We put a post out after the game on Saturday with, are you in or are you out? And it was pretty mixed, to be fair. I thought it was going to be a lot of people were on the Robbo out train. But there's a lot of people that actually are Robbo in, which surprise, I think I'd say about 50-50 still, which Dan said the other week about a civil war, and we got shouted down and laughed at really regarding that comment. But I think, Dan, I think you might be right. I think a civil war is brewing. And there is people like me and Buzz who are now on the Robbo out train. And people like you and Sam are on the definitely Robbo in train.
Yeah, I think, and again, it sounds a bit corny because obviously considering we're in the middle of a massive war over in Russia and Ukraine, and my thoughts are with everyone over there and anyone who's affected. But I do feel that the fans are bickering quite substantially. And I know social media is a crap place to make those those sort of, what's it called, basically the comparisons. But when I'm at games and I'm seeing fans starting to bicker in groups. We had a guy behind the goal the other day who was screaming for Robbo out, and people got absolutely lambasted him for it. And I do feel that, you know, the fan base, again, there's a Facebook group now with a number of guys talking about it. I think 150 maybe, could be even as big as that, who are talking about they want some change. And I think that it's amazing how the tides are turning. But what do you want to do? Do you want to talk? Do you want us to talk about why we think Rob? I mean, I'm a Robbo winner. You're a Robbo out. Where do you want to kick off? Or should we let Sam?
I've got 5 points here why I think you should keep Robbo. I'll run through these.
I'll bounce it about.
And I hope this doesn't result in me getting beaten up in a corner pin anytime soon. But here's 5 reasons why I think Robbo in. And I'm happy to be wrong. The first is that I think he's the perfect representative of the club. The second is he's the sort of manager you need if you're on a tight budget and you've got young players. The third is his brand of football is good to watch within the context of the league when it works. Fourth is he's a good coach, gets the basics right. And the fifth is, even if the first four are wrong, there's currently no better alternative. So even if you are Robbo out and you're not happy, there's currently no better alternative.
Okay, I was going to add something to it, Lee, but you can go.
Well, I just want to go against every single point that Sam just made there, really. Unfortunately. The first one...
That's what we're here for, yeah.
The first one, sorry, that he's the perfect person to... I think Robbo is a great man. I think he's done very well with the academy. He is an academy coach. He is a youth coach. I prefer my managers to be more like a Wally Downs kind of type, someone who gets the Wimbledon way and stuff. And I know people can say that Robbo probably does get the Wimbledon way. But yeah, there is other managers. What was the second point? So I've got to go through them all again.
He's the sort of manager you need when you're on a tight budget and you've got young players.
I just think that's an excuse that he's just been put in that job when we have got a tight budget. You think before that we had Wally who had a tight budget and he'd done a very good job and kept us up. Do you know what I mean? And we were fighting all the way. The third one, sorry, Sam.
His brand of football, when it works the way it should, is good to watch within the context of the league.
19 games has not worked at all. Some of the football has been absolutely horrific. I'll give you the first few months of the season when we looked really good. We didn't care what other teams were doing. He's very stubborn in the fact that he plays one formation and doesn't pretty much change it. I don't like the fact that when after games, when he says, oh, we've moved two up front, which is absolute bullshit. We haven't. We've always played one up front. Assal and Rudy always on the wing and miles away from the strikers. There's never two up front. So your fourth point?
Yeah, he's a good coach. He gets the basics right.
Good coach, I think.
By that, I mean that we don't excessively concede from corners, free kicks. We're not getting torn apart. Even games we lose, we're in those games.
I like his coaching again within a youth team structure when there's nothing to play for. With there's no 3 points, it doesn't matter if you win games or lose games. And he's coaching players. I'm looking at our current squad and I'm thinking, if you look at Zanev, you look at Will, Ben, you look at our midfield, Woodyard, I'm McCormick. I'd say they're regressing. I don't say they're pushing forward or moving forward. I wouldn't say they're pulling out strings at the moment. I can't remember the last time McCormick assisted or scored a goal. And I think they're going backwards.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, so when was that? That was quite a long time ago.
A couple of weeks ago, yeah.
And your last point was you don't know if there's any other managers out there. We won't know that unless we tell Robbo that it's the end or he resigns, because we never know who was out there. We didn't know Wally was out there when he came in. We didn't know that Neil Ardley was out there when Terry Brown left. You never know who's going to apply for the job at that time, who's out of work. Do you know what I mean? It might be totally different now. There's a lot of managers who might think, well, I'd have a stab at Wimbledon with the new ground, even though the budget's bad. I'll see what I can do and what I mean. So at that point, I can't take you on that, unfortunately, either.
Buzz, go on in. Me and you will have a chat now.
Cool, where do we start? Well, with regards to a new manager, if Robbo was to get the boot or resign, as I think he should do out of respect for the club, I mean, I don't think we need like an experienced League One or Championship manager to come in and steady the ship. I literally think they just need a change of opinion and a change of voice, and we'd get a new manager bounce out of it, and that would be enough to keep us up, and then reevaluate in the summer. Like I don't know, people will probably disagree, but even like Bezo and Darius Charles running it for the last 9 games, I don't think it needs to be. I might be worldwide, but I don't think that all or a lot of the players believe in what Robbo says and does. Like, there was a picture going around the other day of all them words on the wall ground, or the training ground, was it, or wherever it was.
Yeah,
it's this fucking overload of absolute nonsense. Like, it's, what does it mean? If you, what do you go up to the board every day and like read like the 35 words that are on there, and it all sinks in, and you do every single one of them. I just don't get it. I don't get why people love Robbo for the way he is. Yes, he's been at the club for a long time, but so has the kit man. So would he make a good manager? Probably not. So he's done the youth team. Well, I'm sure the youth team won their league a couple of weeks ago. When it, the night before we was at Charlton away or something, they won the league. So whatever he's done there, they've continued that on. So that's not all him. He's come into a job where he has got arguably the most patient and relaxed fan base in the country. And he's just, it's 19 games. No other club in the world. After that result at Bolton, which made it, 15? We got smacked 4-0. We were fucking awful. Every other club in the world sacks their manager that night. And they get a new manager in, they get a new bounce, and they stay up. Lovely. If we don't get rid of him, I actually don't think we'll go down, because the other 4 teams below us are pathetic, and they've had enough chances to overtake us, and they can't, and they fucking won't. But fuck me, if we don't get rid of him now, then we need to get rid of him in the summer, because I can't see anything's going to change. He's got no experience. He's out of his depth. He's arrogant. He's cocky. He thinks he's doing a good job. And it's just all, every time you hear an interview, it's an excuse. This and that. And this. Own it. Just own it. You don't know what you're doing. Just resign. People say he's a good coach. Why is he a good coach? Where's he coached? What's he done?
Well,
Went for a job interview now, and what would he put on his CV? Coach the women and youth team. Right, well done. Then what happened? But then I went to the first team and we didn't win for fucking 20 games. Oh, right, great. why is he a good coach?
Can I interject, Buzz? Is that right? That's right. No, firstly, I can totally understand where both you and Lee sit. And I think in many different ways, I think if it was a different year or a different kind of part of our journey, I'd be very, very tempted to be sitting exactly where you are. But I do feel that in many ways, and maybe I'm naive on this, I just feel there's too many extenuating factors that are not, without more information, it's hard to pinpoint it just on Robbo. And these are the ones I've written down. Firstly, as fans, and I know Lee hates the budget chat, but you have to address the fact that we've got the second worst budget in the league. It doesn't at all, and I mean this, it doesn't at all justify the number of games that you do. We haven't won in a row. I totally get that. But what I would say is that if you were automatic at the beginning of the year told that you have got the second worst budget and you were in the fifth best, if you were three or four positions above that, which would mean that you stayed in that league, I don't understand what our expectations of fan base until that budget changes is 20th. And right now, despite how poor we are and how terrible we are still 20th. So for me, I think it's very, very difficult to expect more than what we've got. I think the player...
I'll add something very quickly to that that's relevant.
Okay, go on, Sam, and then I'll let you go through, Lee, and I'll let you feedback.
It's very relevant to that, which is the only reason why I've chipped in. The wage budget is the 62nd highest in the football pyramid out of the 92, and the 62nd place in that pyramid is the bottom slot of League One. So we're over, if you just judge it on how much the players are paid, we're overachieving. Even in the perilous position we're in now, we're punching above our weight on wages.
Okay.
That's all I had to add.
So the next bit, in terms of player acquisition, at the beginning of the year, the football club made a panel and they were talking about a recruitment panel. Now, Robbo is obviously, I believe he must be a part of that. But I don't know how much of a part are we talking. Now, I will take the fact that what has frustrated me, and I'm not too far away from being in the middle of this debate, but what I would say is that the conversation that was had around having interviews of players about the right characters and the right quiet situation and the Salis stuff, in particular, I've spoken how poorly I've been thinking about the man of late. But what I will say is I don't believe that the player acquisitions, i.e. the people he brings in, are entirely A, his fault, B, the amount of money that he has to spend, he has to have a certain amount of people in his squad, and whether we like it or not, he has to spin the wheel and pick some randoms and see if they come off. And we've done that since the moment we've been in the Football League. We've spun the wheel and we've got lucky with some and we haven't with others. And unfortunately this year, we spun the wheel with, I reckon, probably the lowest amount of money we've had, and none of those players have come off. They've had fleetingly bits and pieces. And yes, I think that we can probably... would have better off having three older players than six younger ones. But I don't think the acquisitions is potentially his fault. I don't think we are having this conversation if Ollie Palmer is still at the football club. I did say it 6 weeks ago. I don't think he's a particularly unbelievable football player, but he was definitely the best that we either had and was going to get until the end of the year. You can't blame the bloke for leaving. You can't necessarily blame the bloke, the club, for taking the money, but you can. I don't think it's fair to point a finger at Robbo and say, this is entirely your fault, we're not scoring goals, when arguably, I don't think he's been given the money to reinvest. And he's been basically, in my opinion, sold completely down the river. We haven't replaced a forward. We're not going to replace a forward. And we basically sold our only goal for it and not replaced him. Finally, there's two last things. One is we as a football club can't keep doing the same stuff every single year and expect us to get out of it. We just can't. We've done it and done it and done it. We've done it with Ardley. We've done it with Downs. We started it with Terry Brown in League Two and we nearly got relegated. We have to do something different if we've got any aspiration to even look to be mid-table and beyond. And I fully support the fact of trying to think differently. I don't think the execution's been great. I don't think we've been particularly far away. If you think that, I know we've drawn a lot of games, but if you change three of those games, we're actually a lot higher up. Now, I know a lot of other teams can say the same, but I don't think we're a million miles away. I think if you swap three loan players for three half-decent players, if you get a George Dobson instead of somebody else, I think that makes a massive difference. I think if you swap Cosgrove for Palmer, I think that makes a massive difference. And I feel that ultimately, if we are genuinely going to talk about giving the youth players a chance, at some point, we have to accept the fact that we're going to go down-ish before we come back up, because we're gambling on a lot of kids. And I think it's difficult because the one thing I've always said, you kind of feel like the manager's not, and I won't yet, Lee, one sec. I do understand where you're sitting regarding players, but I don't think there's many of us who would say that the players are not trying. They're not very good. Their quality is poor, but I don't think anyone here can say that the players have down tools. And they are the reasons why I'm ever so slightly in the Robbo in camp. And I would be regardless, because I'm okay with relegation. It's not ideal, but I've made my peace of it because we can't keep doing this. We can't keep being 20th, 19th, 18th and expecting us to improve. And perhaps we need to go down to go up. But they are the reasons, generically, why I'm more Robbo in. But I'm welcome to thank you for listening. Welcome to Get Feedback, Lee.
All right, so we go down, right, which I don't think we will, because as Bud said earlier, four teams in this league are an absolute joke and how they've not gone above us. But we go down. What's our budget when we go into League Two? Are we going to be happy then with, say, our budget's 15th, 16th in League Two? Are we going to be happy with finishing 14th in League Two? Or do we want to go down and then push for promotion again? Or are we happy just stagnating in League Two and becoming a Crawley or a Leyton Orient?
We'll finish wherever our money dictates us, mate.
No, but that's absolute
bullshit. I think it would make us the
seventh. That's absolute bullshit. Not, because
plus
why
or minus
in the,
8 places. Everyone knows this.
So in the Premiership, for many, many years, we didn't have any budget in the Premiership.
Lee, it's 20 years ago, mate.
But we were still competing against the Arsenals, the Man U's, the Liverpools.
20 years ago.
But we were finishing 6th and 7th.
The game's moved on, mate.
But these teams had massive money then. They had loads of money then.
But Lee, look at the teams that go up.
They were still paying more money than us.
The teams that go up. No, but the teams who go up and down from the Championship.
Why are Sutton doing so well in League Two then?
Because it's one season. If they're 5 seasons in, we can have the same debate.
Also, the differences in wages in League Two are not as pronounced.
Everyone will be like, you end up roughly where you should be financially.
Our standards have dropped so low that we're like, let's get used to it. We're used to losing now, so it doesn't matter if we lose, because you know why? We can just have excuses. We've got the budget excuse.
Where do you think we should finish, genuinely? We should not be anywhere but 16th and down.
We should be about 3 or 4 places higher than what we are now.
Well, that's all I'm saying. So what I'm saying to you is we should only...
Which would take, but there's no point going, we can be in the four worst places in the league or one above it because our budget's so bad. Let's just hold our hands up and go, look, the budget's bad. Let's just get relegated. We can't. And also another point I want to say about these youth players. How many youth players have gone into the season,
How many players from our youth this season?
Not talk about Rodoni, because Rodoni's he's been in the team for a couple of years.
As is Sal.
Right. I'm not talking about Osu either, because Osu's been around it since probably Neil Ardley.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so you can't say that he's a youth team player. He came for our youth, but that was Neil Ardley who gave him that start.
Yeah.
Right. Rodoni, again, the same. He came through. Asal maybe last year, so you could still say he's... Name me one more youth team player that has come in and stepped into our first team and played games this year.
I can't think of Will Nightingale.
Will Nightingale's been around for years. He's an experienced pro now. He's not a youth team player. He came for a youth, but he's not. This is the thing that we're going with youth under Robbo.
Yeah.
But not one player from our youth team or Robbo's youth team is breaking into our first team this year.
But Lee, at the same time, though, Lee,
name me one player that you just said we're going to go with our youth. What youth?
Lee, what we're saying is that we've got rid of senior players, got rid of them, and said rather than Luke O'Neill playing, Osu, you're going to play. And that's the
Osu's
transition.
An experienced pro.
Players. They haven't got to be youth players in terms of they haven't got to be 19. They can be youth players, i.e. Jack Rodoni's 21, Asal's 21.
But he's a million-pound player, apparently, that's been in our team since Neil Ardley was here. So he's an experienced pro now. He's one of our experienced players.
He's a young player who
Which
started...
Which youth team player team? Has gone into our first team this season? Which one from our youth team?
We have got four
None.
Or five players. Who are,
None.
You're not going to get a player... basically who is bang on 19, as in this, they've just signed a professional form, congratulations, you're starting. That almost never
But
happens.
This is what we keep getting told with, though. We've got our youth is going to be coming through and we're going with our youth. What youth? We haven't got any youth coming through.
It's not just the youth, it's the age of the senior pros as well, isn't it? You've got the youngest team in 92, you've got the youngest starting 11 in 92.
It's a younger
I get that,
squad.
But they're experienced pros. Squad. Rodoni could be going for £1 million. I get Asal's probably the only one I'd say, right, he's still a bit naive. He's only just, what, this is his second season. Osu's been with us for years as a first team footballer. So's Will Nightingale. You can't say Will Nightingale's a youth team player now coming through. He's not. He's just been given a 3.5-year contract, which was an absolute joke as well. I love Will Nightingale. If he had been given a year contract, an extension, I would have said, yep, probably about right. Giving someone who's made out of glass a 3.5-year contract, right, is absolutely madness to me. And who's making that decision? It has to be
Robbo. Depends on the terms of the contract are, isn't it? If they're reasonable terms, it's not mad. If they're stupid terms, then it's mad. I don't know what he's getting paid.
We
so,
gave Kwezi Appiah a 3-year deal and £3,500 a week. So we can only look at what we've done previously. Go on, Buzz, where you want to press point.
All this... youth player, that's Robbo's thing though, isn't it? So he's the one who's decided not to sign or keep anyone who's over. What was that thing the other day? We're not giving a contract to anyone over 20,
25, I think it is. 25. I haven't got it in front. Let me bring it up.
So to me, again, that's fucking, that just stinks of arrogance. He doesn't want, I think he's so unsure about the job he can do himself. He doesn't want any senior pros in there, i.e. Ollie Palmer, potentially kicking up a bit of a fuss.
Why has he signed Lee Brown then?
I don't know.
He didn't want Lee Brown.
Lee Brown's outspoken.
But he didn't want Lee Brown at first. But
what I'm saying is, all right, on the whole, the majority of it, he's done it because that's Buzz, he wants youth players in.
But has he though? Is that, do you generally, and again, this is a genuine question, do you generally believe that's what Robbo wants, or do you think that the club have said
that's the cards he's been dealt?
This is the amount of money we've got, and this is the options that you've got, and he's almost got to do that. Do you think that's what Robbo
wants? No, I think he wants that because all the blue-eyed boys are the players that he's had in the youth team. I think he wants that. I don't think he wants any real senior.
I've got the details in front of me, and this was on our financial and contractual guardrails.
I love it when you talk like this, Lee. This is fantastic.
Zero cost loans. Market ourselves as the number one loan club in the EFL, which we haven't done very well this year because if you're looking at any of our loans, they're not being very successful. Game time, learning environment, pathway, Premier League style analysis. Right, if we're playing Premier League style, then fuck me, we're miles off that. Supply and demand. Soft cap on wages for over 25-year-olds. So a proposed number is 2,200 per week for an experienced player. We're never going to get an experienced player again then because they'll just sign for the Charltons and like, because 2,200...
McCormick's on more than that, isn't he?
Well, again, this is what I mean. He's not over 25. Little to no resale potential after this age. No minimum fee release clauses. Development player contracts. 3-year deal at age 20 and a 2-year deal at age 21. Experienced player contract, proposed number is 2,200 per week. To me, that's just absolute bullshit because we've just given Will Nightingale a 3.5-year deal and he's over the age of 21.
But we don't know how much he's getting paid, do we? Because they say 2,200.
What do you think it's going to be? It ain't going to be 500 quid a week, is it? It's going to be at least 1,500.
But that's 700 quid underneath that budget.
I'd love to know what Darius Charles is on because he came in as a player at the start of the season. Well, you can't say it's the club, though, Danny, because who's giving out the... Robbo's got to have something to do with the contract.
But we don't know that. What I'm saying to you is...
So who's giving out the contracts? Palmer's gone.
No, but it's not Robbo, is it? Robbo's not the one who goes, right, give me... Robbo doesn't dictate how much money we have to spend. All Robbo's told, he's the head coach. He coaches the team that he is given.
So we need a DRF, then.
He's not the manager. He doesn't...
On a serious note, who actually decides about the... Who's in charge of the contracts and stuff?
No idea. Great question, Buzz. I've got no idea. Then you're right. Totally right. But I don't know that because I believe he's the head coach. I don't think coaches, dictate how much somebody is on. I don't think coaches dictate your transfer budget. You are given a budget. You are given this. And then it's up to them to sort it out. That's what Robbo said.
Yeah, you tell the panel what you need and you hope they give it to you.
So we need a director of football then.
I would totally agree with that. I think we need somebody.
Yeah, that seems sensible.
This is where Buzz comes in beautifully. He said about a change of voice. I think like an older guy above Robbo is a great shout. I think a Kenny Jackett, a Dave Bassett, whatever you want to call it, above him, giving him, well, I know you want to do that, but what about this? I know we haven't got the money, but I think that would be a good use of our time.
Where are we getting the money for that?
All of your complaints against the management have been against the... They've been against not the effort of the team. They've been against the limited resources. That's the problem, isn't it? Even though you want Robbo out, you both started your criticism of him by saying that he's a good man. And that says everything about him, isn't it? Even his biggest critics say he's a good man.
I never said he's a good man.
All right, okay.
I thought I saw it in your eyes.
I'm not saying he's not, but I don't know him. I'm not saying he's a good man. I'm saying what I feel from him is arrogance. That's what I said.
Arrogance is what you call a confident person when you don't like.
Nah.
Sam, I disagree with that because
there's being confident and then there's being cocksure of yourself without experience, which makes arrogance. But aside from that, the whole budget thing, I hate it.
Do you hate that Fulham have the biggest budget in the Championship and they're top of the Championship?
Man City
and that Bournemouth have the second biggest budget and they're second in the Championship.
Well, yeah, but we're not
and Arsenal have the fourth biggest budget.
Sam,
do you know what I mean?
Sam, you're talking about the teams at the top. Let's talk about the teams at the bottom in the leagues, and then let's see where their budgets are. Because who's in the relegation zone in the Championship?
Well, I've got it in front of me here for
Derby. Derby, I know, points. They're under shit at the moment, but they were spending fortunes. Look at the players they've got on their pitch.
Yeah, but Derby have got no money. And they're still spending
wages. They're still paying Graham Shinney's and people like that.
No, but Graham Shinney's gone, but they've got no money. And that's why all the kids are playing. And that's why they're in the bottom three. Barnsley have got very little money. I'm not. By the way, just so we're on the same page, it doesn't excuse budget.
Birmingham spent £2 million on Sam Cosgrove at the start of the season.
They didn't buy him at the start of the season. They had him last season, didn't they?
Reading are spending money for fun.
Yeah.
Or they were spending money for fun, and that's why they're near the bottom now, because it hasn't worked out for them. Cardiff spend loads of money. Stoke, another one who spend money, they're down near the bottom. Don't tell me they've got a 16th budget.
No, but can I finish off my point? Sorry,
Buzz, go on.
Who interrupted me?
Go, Buzz.
Thank you. For example, Wickham the other year went up to the Championship.
Yeah.
What's their budget?
They're owned by the American guys, aren't they?
They've got quite a nice budget now, but they didn't have when they got promoted.
It's not the be-all and end-all, but it is a significant factor, isn't it?
They went up on team spirit, etc., etc. No one turned around and said they shouldn't be where they are because of the budget, etc. Wimbledon FC, when I started supporting them at Selhurst Park in 1991, whatever it was, we must have had the smallest budget in the league.
Yeah, but we're not allowed to talk about that because that was a different type of football. It was different times.
You can't talk about it.
That's all you get shouted at by people.
It's different times. That's the team that I grew up with and fell in love with. And not once ever did I hear, until we were struggling in the league 5-6 years ago, about budget. I hadn't heard it for the 20 years before that. No one used to come to Selhurst Park and go, "Poor fucking hell, we're doing well this year. Our budget's fucking 20th in the Prem." I've never heard that. All of a sudden, we're doing shit. If we were sitting at fucking 14th, no one's mentioning the budget. It's just a fucking nonsense. You get what you get, right? Where I work, there's branches who have got 20 people who work there, and there's branches who have got 5 people who work there. My branch is one of the smaller ones, but they do one of the most money because I haven't got the budget to. I can't employ 15 people. I can employ 5 or 6, and out of them 5 or 6, I make sure that we work our fucking bollocks off. We do exactly what we need to do when we need to do it, and we do things right to make sure that we are a success. I don't then turn around and go, "I ain't got enough staff," because
the budget never matters in sport.
The budget's relevant in your example. So who do you hire?
It's just the excuse that you lot just love to jump on. But to make an excuse for us not winning a game in 20.
Money must matter. I'm not saying it matters.
Why are Everton fourth and bottom in the Premiership?
Because Frank Lampard's the manager and he's rubbish.
He ain't been the manager all season.
Why have Everton never been relegated from the Premier League then?
And they only spent £3 million in the transfer.
They could be getting relegated.
People are allowed to play badly in a season. You are allowed to have money and play badly for a while. And it's okay to not have money and play good. All I'm saying is Wimbledon have consistently had very low money in League One. And we've consistently been 20th, 19th, or 18th. That can't be much of a coincidence, surely.
But Dan, you weren't mentioning the budget at the start of the season when we were doing all right and we were beating teams and we were playing well.
I was delighted because there was no budget talk at all. Because we're overachieving.
But no one even said we're overachieving. Everyone was going, "Oh, this is because we've got a good squad."
We are, but you've just said it. We should realistically be, with the money we've got, the resources, blah, 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 we should only be 4 places above where we are.
No, you said...
That's what you said.
Where would you be happy now? Every start of the season, I want us to fucking win the league.
I said, what are your
expectations? Because that's the Wimbledon way. We will beat whoever's in front of us. It don't matter who you are. We're going to beat you. And then suddenly, slowly become into Wimbledon's psyche and the culture of the club is that we have to make excuses for every time we foul. So we've just gone on a 20 game. We haven't won in 20 games. So let's look at the excuses. We've had injuries. Our loans haven't worked. The football committee shit. Joe Palmer was shit.
Yeah.
But it can never fall on the management team at the club currently.
And it can.
If this was Wally Downs, Neil Ardley or Glyn Hodges, they'd be getting absolute bullets.
But because
we all got sacked, but we've said that we've got to go a different. We can't go down that road. We've done that.
You can't always do sacking every time.
We should have gone down the road with Wally Downs. We should have. He was putting in a culture. He was putting in a DRF.
Wally Downs had a horrendous record when he quit. When he was not quit. Sorry, that's not fair. When he was released, we were playing horrible. Our form was shocking. We were dreadful. Everyone was saying how poor.
How many games have we not won for when Wally Downs?
Oh, nowhere near as much as Robbo Buzz.
Exactly.
Nowhere near as much.
Why is Robbo the one to take us forward? Why was none of these other managers the ones to take us forward? Don't get me wrong, right? Dan, I agree with you in the respect that every year we fucking struggle. Every year we do struggle. But why? Someone explain to me, one, what this elite mentality that Robbo says we're going to have is. And two, why is Robbo this fucking walking on water god that no one wants to fucking sack? Why did Ardley and the rest of them, Downs and everyone else, why did they get sacked and why won't Robbo get sacked? Every year we've sacked someone and we've stayed up. So why is Robbo untouchable?
Do you think it's because the club doesn't want to repeat the pattern of sacking people and then being in the same situation next year?
And Ardley got sacked because we had Robbo. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Yeah. What I'm saying is, if we sack Robbo, who from inside the club for free or for basically no extra money is going to take over and not only take over, but have enough of an opportunity to potentially take us forward? I don't see that.
How will their methods be different?
If we had any money...
It doesn't need to be different, Sam, because you put in the same processes and you put in the same culture. But a new manager would have to come in and abide by what is in place. This is what I said to Danny last week. If Robbo would... Say we were second in the league now and Leeds come in for Robbo and Robbo said, yeah, I'm going to take that job. Would we go, shit, we have to rip up everything Robbo's just done for us? No, we still keep the same culture and the same mentality.
I think that's a minority view from what I'm seeing on the Facebook groups. The people who tend to want Robbo out also want all of his methods overhauled. That's what I read on those fan forums, that they want him out and they want two up front and they want senior pros paid. You know, they want more of an overhaul than just the manager got.
I disagree. I don't think we just want two up front. I think people that disagree with how Robbo's doing it is that I don't want us to be so stubborn in the fact that it happened to Glenn Hodges that his 3-5-2 was all we could play, and when we weren't winning games it was just getting ridiculous. We now play a 4-2-3-1 and that is all we ever play. I think I'm with Buzz on this. It's the actual excuses that we use after every defeat. It's the fact that the arrogance of our coaching staff and the people around the club at the moment just seem to be sleepwalking into relegation. It doesn't matter. If we get relegated, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? We'll just go again next year, which I don't think we will. Sorry, Dan. I want to ask you boys a question.
Please.
Is that on Saturday, I heard there was obviously some viral passed over to the management team. And a couple of our coaches bit back a little bit and told some fans to fuck off.
I've
got no issue with that whatsoever, because Rob Toovey's the one, I believe, who got involved in it all. We got to remember that Rob Toovey is a Wimbledon fan from the minute he was born. His family are massive Wimbledon fans. Wimbledon FC, AFC Wimbledon. I remember seeing Rob when he was a young lad down at Combine Counties League watching Wimbledon. He's living his dream at the moment in trying to do a job for Wimbledon. He's just unfortunately not very good at it. I don't know how you boys feel about it. It didn't bother me, because if you're going to give management...
It's totally reasonable. Imagine if someone came to your work and told you were shit all day and started a Facebook group about how you were shit. You'd be well in your rights to tell them to fuck off.
Oh, yeah.
And the fans aren't wrong and the managers aren't wrong. It's fine for both parties to have that opinion, isn't it?
I agree, but I
totally disagree. You can't, as a professional football club, manager, assistant manager, coach, whatever it is, you can't tell the fans to fuck off. When the fans travel the country, watching and supporting the team, spending money every fucking week that most of them haven't got with fucking the way what the world is at the moment, if they want to vent their anger and tell you you're fucking shit at your job, you cannot turn around and tell them to fuck off. That's bang out of order. Someone comes to my work and said, you're shit at your job, and I said, fuck off, that's different, because I'm not a fucking role model as such. You can't do that. We've had two home wins all fucking season. Two. Now, I've got every right at 400 quid a season ticket. I've seen two games, so that's £200 a fucking win. I'm well in my right to tell every fucking woman, and every player and every coach that they're shit.
I agree with you, Buzz. I think for the managers to, or the assistant manager, like Buzz said, the representatives of the club, I know things get a bit lively and fans went their way, but I don't think that's a good look for the players. And it's not the first time that we've had a player or a fan doing that. And
it's Woodyard at Boreham Wood, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good look at all. And I think it does show that things are quite tense and people are getting quite fractious. It's just, and I feel like ultimately, I can totally get where everyone goes. I don't know. I guess the answer would probably be, well, we won't know unless we do it. But if we haven't got enough money to replace a forward to give us a chance to stay up and belt, but the board have obviously backed Robbo massively because he's still in the job. I don't know what you're going to get out of getting rid of him. You might go, well, we've got nothing to lose because it's been 19 games, and that would be a very, very valid point. I've got no problem with that. But I just feel like we've got to, at some point, we can't keep doing what we've always done. We get rid of Robbo, we bring someone in, it's a great escape, we do it again.
Eventually you run out of luck, don't you?
I just feel personally, we as a club have got to a point where we realise that, you know, that's kind of where we are. We're actually probably a League Two club at the moment, and maybe that's the better way of doing it. And by going a longer plan, we might have a bit more success. I mean, I don't know about you, but it has been tough the last like 8 years, basically watching league football and getting beaten 3 times out of 4, staying up with a couple of games to go, and then we redo it again. And trying to do something different, I haven't got a problem with, and I'd rather sit on this road and just see where it takes us. Even if it's to the end of the year, you go down, we reevaluate, we've learned some lessons and we do it again. I'd rather do that, but be in a better position than do it again and then make the same mistakes again and again and again. That's my opinion.
Dan, I kind of agree with you, because I said to Buzz and a few of my mates the other day, I'm actually, if we go down, I actually look forward
to
it. Because there's some decent grounds in there. I've been to Carlisle, it's a great place. I'll go to Harrogate, which I've never been to, and places like that, and it'll be a good journey again. But I just think that within the club and the management team and stuff, we've got to stop with all the bullshit, the arrogance, the stuff. We've got to tell fans how it is. Do you know what I mean? And that comes from the board level, the Don's Trust board as well. Because I think we're sold a dream. We start every year thinking we could do something this year. But we were told at the start of the season, we were looking at mid-table, possibly playoffs.
Of course,
and that was coming from the top. And I get it. I said earlier, I want every year, I think we're going to win the league because that's what fans do. But I'm a fan. Do you know what I mean? It's just mad to me at the moment. We get so much bullshit given to us, and then this is what happens. I enjoy it, but it's mad that we say we don't really enjoy the last few years when we're playing against the Sheffield Wednesdays, the Sunderlands. Do you know what I mean? We should be fucking well looking forward to playing these teams all the time. And they're not that good. I looked at Lincoln the other day and thought, these ain't nothing. Do you know what I mean? They're spending fortunes.
We were the better team against Sunderland. You know, we're a better team against a team that's got Jermaine Defoe in it. That says a lot, doesn't it?
And we shouldn't be, though, because we've got no budget and they've got loads of budget. So we really, really, we should just wave the white flag as soon as they come out the tunnel.
We lost that 5-0.
Buzz, quick question, Buzz. Can I ask you a question, if that's all right? I'm just curious in your opinion. In terms of the whole club, right now, is Robbo the biggest problem that we need to address, i.e. getting rid of the manager, or do you feel that as a club, there is a bigger problem that we need to address, and whether Robbo is part of that, it's not a trap door. I'm just curious as to what you think at the moment is our biggest concern.
Fuck.
Is it the manager? Is it the board? Is it us? What is the biggest problem that we need to attack?
The biggest problem that we need to attack is we need to get rid of the fan owned.
Okay. No. I'm agree with you.
But we need some investment. The Don's Trust Board. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of people on it who are probably the same sort of thoughts that I have, maybe. But on the whole, anyone with any sort of say or power at Wimbledon, or who think they've got power, are all, I'm just happy to have a club brigade, right? Which is fine, and I am not. I'm just happy to have a club brigade, and a lot of younger fans who are coming through aren't happy to just have a club. You don't want to waste your Saturdays and all your money watching a team that a club as such that don't want to progress. Like I've banged on about it all season, our fucking standards as a football club are horrific. We are happy just to be on the same pitch as some clubs. Ooh, we've played at the stadium a lot and shared their changing rooms. That's the sort of things that come out from what I feel come out of the club. Not, oh, we're going to go to Sunderland and we're going to fucking beat them. Our standards are low. We're so far, and all right, people might like this, we're so far removed from the Premier League Wimbledon and the crazy game Wimbledon, it's fucking ridiculous. Our fan base, obviously, it's bigger now than it's been for a long time. But yeah, a lot of them are younger, and a lot of them are going to want to see some sort of success. I'm not saying we need to go and win the fucking League One and then the Championship. Obviously, that's really far-fetched. But didn't we say we want to be in the Championship in 5 years? Wasn't that part of what
the club's manifesto? Yeah.
But now it feels like we're happy to go down to League Two. Now it feels like we're saying, well, Robbo's the guy. Robbo's our man. He's got no experience. He's never done this before. But if he takes us down to League Two, then don't worry, because we'll come straight back up next year and then we'll go straight up the year after. I can't see that's the case. I think if we go down this year, I think we're fucked for years. I think there's more chance of us going back to the Conference than there is League One. That is not the sort of club I imagine a lot of people want to support. And how much money are we going to lose from going down? All of a sudden, that 300 grand that we didn't want to invest back from Ollie Palmer looks fucking peanuts when we're not getting fucking 7, 8, 9 sell-out away crowds at home every week from the big clubs that are coming down. And I just feel like I've watched, don't get me wrong, I wasn't there every week, but I've watched Combine Counties to League Two. I've watched it all, and I do not, and I wouldn't watch it again. And if we fucking drop down to whatever, I'm not saying we will, but if we did drop down to whatever, I would discourage my son to watch it. It's fucking awful. I want to watch league football against proper teams. I want to go to proper grounds, and I want to have some sort of fucking pride. Every Monday I come in and everyone at work goes, 18, 19, 20. It's a fucking embarrassment. We're the biggest embarrassment in the fucking football league. We're an absolute laughing stock. Absolute laughing stock.
Okay, cool. Lee?
I just want to quickly say, I half agree with Buzz. I've got to say, the Don's Trust Board, we've got to remember, these people are fans, they're volunteers, and they are working their asses off for the club. So they're not doing it just for the fun of it. They're doing it because, you know, we know them personally, Buzz, a few of them, Xavier, things like that, we've been to games with and stuff, and had beers with. And I know they do work hard, but the problem we've got is there's not the money. It's like we're celebrating taking on more like a debt within the Don's Trust bond, which is a great idea, but it's only lowering our interest rate. Do you know what I mean? It ain't clearing the debt. It ain't going to put more money onto the pitch. We're just, and I know it's a good, we've got to look at the positives that it's a good thing that we're lowering our interest rate, but that interest rate is still going to be there, right? I know it's fans who might not want the money back, but there's going to be a lot of people that put money into that bond who are not Wimbledon fans, who have seen it as a good investment. Yeah, they've not seen it to go, there you go, Wimbledon, that's your money now. I don't care if I get it back or not. They've put that in there to go, I want my 7%. Do you know what I mean? And that's what they want out of it. And I just think we do need to be looking at investment. But is there investment out there for football clubs? Is there investment? I think we've got to stop being scared of what happened to us previously. It's like when you split off a bird and the bird dumped you and she run off with someone else, and then thinking, shit, I can never go out of another girl again in case she fucking dumps me. Do you know what I mean? We've got Plough Lane now. I can't ever see, if we ever sold out, someone going, yep, we're going to sell Plough Lane, we're going to make flats, and you're moving to freaking Bermondsey or somewhere like that. Do you know what I mean?
It would never happen again.
It's not going to happen again. I can't see it. And as much as it hurt last time, and I was there through it, Buzz was, you were, Dan, I don't know about you, Sam. We were all there. It hurt. But we've got to try and move on. We're a better club now, and we've got to look at bigger things. I've said it loads of times. There's too many weasels within the club who have their own little powers, their own little jobs that they've been given to them. They've not been outsourced or put out to anyone else to do, who could do a better job. They've been given to them. And the propaganda that comes from the club, and this comes from all the official channels, we've got to stop with the propaganda and stop trying to lie people when they were actually watching games live. Some of the stuff that's coming out is just bullshit. Do you know what I mean? And I mean the full official channels. Yeah.
I think to defend the club here, you know, they put on the official YouTube channel that infamous Lee Brown interview where he absolutely dug out the club. And that's not the club forcing propaganda on you. That's the club facing their problems and putting it on their official YouTube channel that they recognize those problems. And I think that shows that they have respect for the fans, and they let the sort of voices that are dissenting voices against the trust board and everything else, they let them on their public channel, you know, and they're very friendly with you guys. You guys are often critical of them, which you have every right to be. And it doesn't mean you have to fall out with anyone who runs the club, and you haven't.
Right, guys, quick question then. Robbo in or Robbo out? Last game of the season, end of the last game of the season. Is Robbo in or out? Lee? Let's change it. Will he actually be in the job? Not what you think. Will he be in the job?
This is why this is a funny conversation, because it's a very moot point for me, because whatever happens, Robbo's going nowhere.
Okay.
Robbo is safe in a job, which I don't understand how you can be that safe when you've just gone 20 games without a win. But yeah, Robbo is our manager next season, no matter what we think, what the Robbo out thinks. If we don't start winning games soon, I can see it getting worse and more toxic. Unfortunately, I know what Sam's saying there, but yeah, I can hear some. It's not going to be a very nice atmosphere.
Buzz, what are you
and that's
for?
That's the big danger, isn't it? Is losing that atmosphere, and I think, sorry to interrupt you there, Buzz, but for me, I think the most difficult thing of the manager's job and the trust job and anybody involved running the club is they've got to keep the traditional fans happy, and you're not happy. The old Wimbledon FC fans, a lot of them aren't happy, and you've got to keep the newer fans, the AFC era fans, happy as well. And there are lots of opposing opinions there, and you have to make that balancing act. So I don't envy anyone who's in charge of running the club at the moment to keep the two camps of the fans on the side.
Buzz, what are you going for? In the job, out the job, last game of the season, is he there? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, he probably will be in. Like I said, he seems untouchable for some, God knows, I don't know why, but he'll probably still be in the job unless. I think we'll win Saturday. It's just because it's about time we won a game. But
the law of averages.
Law of averages. Yeah, I'm big for law of averages. So I think we'll win. We'll win either Saturday or we'll win either Cambridge. And by the time we win one of them, we'd potentially be 5 points clear of relegation. So yeah, I think he'll be in. If we lose the next two, I can't see how he stays.
I agree with you there, Buzz. I think you're right.
Like, if we don't beat, but there was rumours that he was going to walk on Saturday if we lost. But why would he walk? Why would he walk if he doesn't walk? If he waits to get sacked, one, he gets a payout because he's under contract. So why on earth would he walk? Apparently, he loves the club. Even though he's a Chelsea fan, but he's been there so long, he loves the club. So he's not going to walk. So unless he gets sacked, I just genuinely think we can't afford to sack him. Yeah. And if we can't afford to sack him, and he's not going to walk because he don't want to lose his fucking power, then we're absolutely fucked, aren't we?
Danny, your view?
I absolutely can't disagree with Buzz at all. I don't think the club can afford to sack him, and I think that's one of the major reasons: A, why he got the job, and B, why he's probably still in it. What I would say exactly again what Buzz said: I don't know how long you as a professional can go on not winning a game of football and accepting the criticism and going, right, we've lost 20 in a row. Do you know what? I think I should jump. I don't know how long you as a professional person can go that. I don't think I could go this long and go, okay, do you know what? I'm still going to turn up to work on Monday without going, do you know what? Maybe I'm not the right man for this. So I personally feel like if we don't get a win at Cheltenham, I thought it would be Cheltenham, Charlton and Cambridge, one of them three, but I think it could be now just Cheltenham or Cambridge. I think if we don't get some positive results, if we're just going to have a couple of draws, I'm not sure that's enough. I think he's got to get a win somewhere. Otherwise, like you said, Lee, I think he'll get very toxic, but I do think we'll turn it around. I do think he'll be there at the end of the year. The only difference, I don't think we'll be in League Two. In League One, I think we might just fall down the trapdoor. But I think he'll be there. I think
he'll be there. What will happen on Saturday is he'll play an 18-year-old and then he'll come out after we've lost and say, look, who else is giving 18-year-old debuts? And he'll just get away with it that way. But I think Buzz believes in the law of averages so much that he actually thinks they're real laws. But anyway, let's move on. And we'll discuss Cheltenham on Saturday, a massive, massive game.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
back and we're going to be discussing Cheltenham. We're not discussing the races, which I don't know if it's been profitable for you boys. But yeah, the Cheltenham races has been going on just before we got there. But yeah, the big game on Saturday, I actually really fancy us to go up there and win, which seems mad at the moment because we haven't won. But this is maybe just because we're Wimbledon fans and this is what we do. But I do fancy us to go up there. I like Zach Robinson the other day and thought that if he starts, we could get a win. What do we think, boys? What's going on? Sam, I'll come to you.
Getting away from Plough Lane is probably a good thing at the moment. Playing just in front of the away fans. Young striker, probably can't believe his luck. He's been recalled from Hampton and Richmond. I think you're right. I think there's desperate times, but I think with the right momentum, there could be a result here.
Carbaz?
Yeah, I think we'll win. Apparently, we've sold 1,400 tickets, have we?
No, really? 1,400?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Apparently.
But I think, well, Lee, most of our lot are going, aren't they, bar a few of us?
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of them. Most people are there. Everyone's on an absolute beano. Yeah, I think we'll win just because, I mean, has any team in the EFL ever not won for 20 games? Is that a thing? Is that
21.
Is this the longest ever record? Didn't even Derby, when they got like 8 points all season, didn't go 20 without a win, did they?
When I don't know. Generally, I've got no idea. It's got to be one of the longest ones, though.
Got to be, isn't it? So, I mean, it can't keep going on. We're not going to win again this season, are we? And
otherwise, your law of averages is buggered, mate.
Law of averages, yeah, bucking up. But I think we'll win. I think we'll win 3-1.
Mate, fantastic. I'll tell you one thing I would say. Buzz sort of with 1,400. Our fans desperately, desperately deserve a win. I mean, not be fine. I know there's been a lot of bitch on social media and stuff, but think about the Plough Lane Bonds, number of away fans in terms of people who go actively. You know, people can be slightly weird on social medias and that, we get it, and maybe people think we're about today. But my God, for a fan base, we are definitely, definitely up there, you think, in terms of popularity and the way that we normally get behind our players, and we are well due a win. I can't see us winning. I just, without a forward, I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know who's.
And you're normally the positive one.
I know, mate, but I just.
What's happened?
We've got no Cosgrove. We've got no. Obviously, Presley's gone. Mabude is basically the modern day Andy Clark. So I can't see us doing anything with him playing. Hopefully, we'll get something. But the only good thing, I suppose, is Cheltenham aren't playing brilliantly, but they have got Alfie May, who always plays quite well. I think we'll get something from the game. A win would be absolutely sensational. It's one of the very, very few games that I'm actually not going to watch. So, I'm on a stag do.
I'm not watching either. I'm taking the kids out for the day to go on Adventure Island near us for all the rides and stuff. So I'm going out with them for the day to not do that. But I think you're right with the fan. Like, as Buzz said, we've got quite a few of our boys going out there who's going to be getting drunk and smashed and don't really care what's going on in the pitch. As long as we get a 1-0 last minute win, I think they'll be well happy. I also do worry about some of our fans' mental health. People like Gary Fletcher, do you know what I mean? He's been pretty much every game this year and he's really struggling now. And do you know what I mean? He has literally no idea about football. He ain't got a clue what he's talking about, but he goes every game and bless him. I hope we get a win just for him mentally, really, because he is. I see him on Facebook the other day struggling with his mental health due to Wimbledon. But I do fancy it. I fancy us to win 3-1. I think Cheltenham are shit. Fuck them. We're going to beat them.
Yeah. Yeah. You tell them, Lee.
Yeah.
And who's going to score then? Who's going to be our goal scorer?
Zach Robinson hat trick.
Oh. Fuck hell. I think he'll get two, not three.
Oh, sorry. Fucking hell. Calm down. Sam, what's your prediction?
I think Asal's in good form. Radoni's back, isn't he?
Asal's in good form.
On the back of that, Asal and Rudy have been fucking shite for the last 2 months.
Rudy's been hot and cold, hasn't he? When he's good, he's good, but he's the consistency.
See, this is what I love about Wimbledon fans. There's people like me and Buzz who only ever see the real shit, and there's people like Sam who cannot see anything other than positive. I love it. It is Wimbledon fans are about.
Against Doncaster Rudy was fucking superb, granted. But they are fucking the gash of the gash. Neither of them are going to get a fucking transfer to a championship club for £1 million. No fucking way.
I'm going to have to put the old beep on today, aren't I? Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
Every time Buzz speaks.
Neither of them will get a transfer. And One thing in defence of Robbo, right? At Wigan away, he took off Rooney and bought on Shocker.
Yeah.
Kasoka, whatever he's called. And we, for the last 20 minutes, when we went 3-4-3 or 3.
Yeah, that 5, sounds about right.
We did look a lot better, and we were all over Wigan for the last 20 minutes. All right, we couldn't score, etc., etc. But then he did it against Plymouth, and he did it against someone else, and it did it. I saw people slagging him off. It didn't work anywhere near as well as it did against Wigan.
Buzz, you're waffling now, mate. Just give us your prediction.
I've already told you 3 or 4-1.
Right, you're going 3 or 4. Right, you're doing 2 predictions. Right,
go on, Dan. 4, Jack Robinson, 2 goals.
Go on, Dan.
I think tidy 1-0 win for me.
1-0, Sam. 1-1 for me, I'm afraid.
You say 1-1 every week. Literally every week.
I just cannot see us scoring more than one, and we always make a slight mistake. I know Tottenham aren't poor, but I don't know where we're going to. I don't know. I can't see us winning a game. I know. I'm sure it will happen. I can't see it. So
I'm back.
We've got the only players in the league who literally can just be running along with the ball and just fall over.
100%.
Yeah. The other week, Will Nightingale, he controlled it with his thigh at Wigan. And then managed to nutmeg himself.
I wonder if he called it. Called nuts on himself. Yeah. But we're the only team that can go around and go just run all game without having a shot and everyone go, oh, what a performance. Do you know what I mean? We played really well there. It's like, yeah, we didn't have a safe time. Keep us wearing white on Saturday. Comes off still white. But, yeah, I'm backing my boy Zach Robinson. I said if he started for us and he played regular games, he'd get 50 goals a season. And I still back the boy. I think he's absolute class. Just needs a run of games. And Cosgrove could be back. Kaja Lawrence and Cosgrove could be back in the running. Yeah. I don't know how, because Cosgrove is training with the physio the other day and they said he could be back in contention. But I don't get how you train with a physio and then start a game on the Saturday. But I'm not a physio.
Our worst bit of luck recently was Zanev not getting called up for
New Zealand. Yes. So, right, boys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Buzzwell, Sam, thank you very much for joining me and Danny.
Cheers. Tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, pleasure.
Danny, cheers, boys.
Danny, as always, I'll see you next week, mate.
Not if I see you first.
We're talking about a win.
Absolutely. Let's do this.
I know, Danny, I'll be thinking about my food ideas. I might just come to a game just to get my food off you.
Well, you might. The only reason why you're turning up.
Yeah, right. Later, all. Come on, you dons.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.